a few months back on, I think, March 17th, I had the... Do I need to switch mics? Jamie is sprinting, so I'm guessing a solution is forthcoming. So, a few months ago, on March 17th, I had the privilege of preaching in Sign of the Dove Church in Uganda. And that is pastored by Pastor Daniel and Pastor Erica. And I'll share about how you can maybe get to know them a little bit better later. So I don't want to take up too much of Pastor Daniel's time. But, of course, immediately the plan was the next time you're in the States, please let us know because we would love to hear from you. And so especially because we're seeing our partnership with Uganda as number one, long term, and number two, committed to it being relational. Deep relational connections so that we're just partnering with part of our family across the ocean. And that's Pastor Daniel's heart as well. He's very relational in the way he approaches his administration. So I've asked Mike to do a quick introduction because Mike has known him longer than I have. So Mike will introduce him and bring him up, and Pastor Daniel will share with us this morning.
Hey, good morning, good morning. Could we welcome Pastor Daniel and Mama Erica to the church? It's a long journey, and they came in about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. They're not sure which day they actually left, but they're here. They got a reasonable night's sleep, and so they graciously agreed, and Pastor Daniel agreed to come and speak. And I just wanted to kind of introduce a little bit about him before he came, and give you some context. As Pastor already said, we went with the team last March to do both a medical mission. We did ministry to women's. We ministered to orphans. Grant was integrally involved in helping build some playground equipment along with the folks there. But I was just going to introduce anybody that's from that team that went in March. Would you mind standing up for just a second and let everybody see who you are? So, yeah. So, thank you. We had folks from Chicago, Bartlesville, and several churches from here that went. So it was a multi-denominational approach to the mission trip. And so we all had an amazing time and hopefully can continue. We're planning on going back in March. Just I'll give you that plug in the front end, and I'll tell you a little bit how to, if you want to connect. And afterwards, we're going to be back in the Fellowship Hall area there for a few minutes to just meet and greet and ask if you have questions or just want to meet the folks. We'll be there for a few minutes afterwards. I just wanted to give you a little context. It's kind of like how you would describe an elephant in terms of size and behavior. And so it's a bit of an struggle to try to say how do you wrap your head around a description of who Pastor Eric or Pastor Daniel is and who Mama Erica are and what they represent. So I just wanted to give you a little context, and then I'm going to let Pastor Daniel come up and speak. So Africa is the youngest youngest continent in the world. Uganda is one of the youngest countries on that continent. The average age is between about 15 and 16. Over 1.2 million orphans. Embrace Child Care Ministries is an organization that we're working with in Uganda, which is under the leadership of Pastor Daniel and the Sign of the Dove Church in Kampala in the capital. And the actual program we're working with is on the outskirts in a rural area called the Makono District. The vision is to raise up the next generation of Ugandan leaders through loving education and the spiritual training of orphan children in this rural community, moving these beautiful children from simply surviving to thriving, to transform an entire community, which is predominantly Muslim, by the way, by the love of Christ in a holistic way. Through improved agriculture, we're meeting their physical needs, through medical. As in most third world countries, their medical system is a mess. The average physician's salary is about $600 a month if they get paid, which is rare. Average for a nurse is about $300 a month. And then the cost of medicines is out of reach for most of the people in these countries. The closest significant medical center to where we are in this area we're working is about 8 miles. During COVID, they shut down all public transportation, and that's how they get around. Women were in labor were literally dying on the side of the road because they couldn't make it to a medical center. So the women in this community that we're serving, went and built 30,000 bricks, this was 3 or 4 years ago, in anticipation of someone coming in and building them a medical center so that folks within their community can actually have their babies delivered there and get medical care. So we're trying to work toward that. Educational, there's a primary school there that has about 285 primary school kids. They have a capacity for about 450. It's only limited by the fact that there's not enough sponsorship to have the kids actually be able to go to school. It costs about $30 a month for kids that come and go out of the school, and they also have places where the kids can live on site, and that's about $60 a month. And so they could take on up to 450, but right now they have 285. Let's see. And so because of the quality of the education of the school, there's just a tremendous waiting list. People want to get into this school because it's just an amazing place, and the community knows that. Our goal there, one of the goals that we have, is to build a secondary school that will house hundreds of more children and allow those kids that come out of primary school to have a place to go. If otherwise, they're graduating out of primary school with nowhere to go. So Faces with Names, I know these things get confusing. So we have Embrace Child Care Ministry that's on the ground there. Faces with Names is the U.S. organization, a 501c3 organization based out of Bartlesville, which helps in terms of supporting all the projects and the money that goes toward that project. Pastor Eric Mills and his wife Susan, Pastor Eric is the director of that. He's here today. You guys might stand for a second and just thank you for... Okay, yeah, got him. All right. Just every dollar donated through Faces with Names goes to this project. Nothing goes to anything else. So let me get to Pastor Daniel and Erica. They were both orphan children. They've been married for 26 years. They fostered 55 children. They have 3 of their own natural children. They pastor the Sign of the Dove Church in Kampala, and they operate the Embrace Child Care Ministry in Makono District. Erica, I just want to mention, is just this beautiful person. If you've not met her, you should, who has a passion for orphans. They are drawn to her like honey to fly or flies to honey. And when you are in her presence, she just oozes the love of Christ. She's the main administrator of the primary school on top of her other obligations. Pastor Daniel, he's one of the leaders of the Orphans International that addresses international orphan issues. He has started over 700 churches, church plants throughout, not just Uganda, but throughout Eastern Africa and Southern Africa. He's authored 6 books and working on the 7th that largely address integrity and give practical guidance to people wanting to do work in Africa. He leads by example with love, compassion, and commitment, and has gained the trust of the communities that he serves. I consider it an honor to call him my brother and my friend. So, Pastor Daniel, if you wouldn't come up and...
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. I just want to thank God for this wonderful time that the Lord has given unto me to be able to speak before you this morning. I give God all the praise and honor for our pastor. In Uganda, we call him Pastor Otis. Here, you call him different, which is, his name is hard to pronounce. But I know that you understand it so well, better than me. But we just love him. He has that pure spirit. He will always joke around and just make you feel loved. I know that you're so blessed to have him as your pastor. And when he came to preach to our church, I was like, if he was not of this church, we would have kept him in Uganda for the rest of his life. Because he just put us on fire. He ignited the fire in the church. And by the time that we all finished the projects that we are doing in Uganda, everyone was like, when is he coming back? So I think I'll have the opportunity to ask him to come back again, because he's loved. You know, whenever you are loved, you always feel like, whenever you touch people's lives, you always feel like there's some kind of significance. So Pastor Otis, may the Lord bless you so much, together with your wife, the leadership of the church, the elders, and all the church members. We just want to say thank you for welcoming us to be able to be part of this service today. I just want to thank God for Dr. Mike, who is our great, great friend and the great wife. She is so amazing. Just being near her will just make you feel like, you feel at home. great family. We love you so much. Thank you for taking care of us and having us in your home. Pastor Eric is such a blessing, and his family also. They have done tremendous things. I just want to thank God for all who came to Uganda. I know that we've already recognized some of those who came, but we still want to say thank you so much for coming to Uganda this year. And it was just a blessing to have a team over in Uganda. What a blessing for us to be able to receive a team from the US to be able to come and at least be able to do some kind of ministry in our country. And it was such an amazing, great ministry that was done. And I also want to thank the church, CCC, Triple C, great church. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. I know that you have been a blessing to our country. And I'm going to say it again. Thank you so much for standing together with us to be able to support what the Lord is doing in Uganda. If it has not been by your support, your love, your prayers, we would not have been able to accomplish what we have accomplished today. So we would really want to thank you so much for that, by the grace of God. I'm just going to be able to share what the Lord has laid upon my heart. And I know that at least that one person will be blessed by this. My wife and I have been raised, have been married for the last 26 years, as Dr. Mike has already said. And when the Lord called us into ministry, I know that it wasn't something so easy. It was amidst a very great, great challenge in our lives. So being raised up as an orphan, and then she was also raised up as an orphan, so the Lord brought us together to be able to do ministry. And as I said, it wasn't so easy. I gave my life to the Lord in the year 1990, and I started the ministry, international ministry, in 1992. And from 1992, I did ministry until 1999. A time came in 1999 that I really felt like I needed to have something else to do, because ministry in Africa is very difficult, very complicated. Is that you do ministry, but you're not paid. It is a job that you are going to be able to do, but it's a sacrifice. So in 1999, I really felt like we needed to have something to do to be able to earn a living. So we had, by that time, life was so hard with only one child. And I planned of doing a small business, which I was able to start in our own community, starting up a small store whereby we were selling sodas and some few items to be able to earn a better living. But immediately after that, I had already known that I had a call on my life. And going into this business took most of my time, that I almost lost the vision and the purpose why the Lord had called me. So afterwards, life became so difficult because the business could not move on. It is a business that we used to have, and at the same time, it could not flourish so well to the level that could not even sustain us. I remember the year 1999, 23rd of December. I always remember and share about this story. Yeah, where people were celebrating Christmas, 23rd of December, and we did not have anything to eat. By that time, Erica was pregnant, and she was going to have our second daughter by that time. Life was so hard, and a friend of mine came, and we had taken days without food. I always tell people that it's America is so blessed that you can always sleep knowing that tomorrow I'll be able to have something to eat. I told Dr. Mike, I think last night, and I told him that, I just feel blessed that I'm in this home, because I know that tomorrow in the morning I'll have breakfast. You know, that's something big. So, 1999, 23rd December, we had spent days without food. And she gave birth to our second daughter, 28th of December, 1999. So look at the woman, a wife, who is like 5 days away from giving birth, and she has taken days without food. Life was so hard. So getting into this Christmas season, a friend of mine came with some 2 chickens, and he put them by the veranda in a very small one-bedroom house where we lived. He brought them and kept them over there, and he went to the market to be able to buy some a few items to take to his home. I thought that somebody had given us these chickens for Christmas. I was excited, and I was like, this is what we are going to eat for Christmas. Even if we had no food and no other thing, we shall eat chicken and then feel Christmas. Only to come out of the house after some few minutes after that, that the one who had kept the chickens came and collected them, because they were not ours, they were his. So life became so much harder. Christmas, would not celebrate Christmas, and would not eat anything on Christmas until 2000, the year 2000, 1st of December, 1st of January 2000. 1st of January 2000, it is the time that I had to make up my commitment. And I told God that, Lord, I need to know the purpose as to why you created me. So life was so hard. I made up my mind to go and pray. I went to the place called Prayer Mountain that we have in Uganda. Prayer Mountain is a place where people go for prayers. But by that time, it was all bushes, and people had already gone for Christmas. I made up my mind and I said, I'm going to go to this mountain to pray. Nobody was there. It was just bushes all around. And I said that I'm going to go to this mountain for 40 days to be able to ask God the reason why he created me. And I still needed to know the purpose behind my creation. I went to the prayer mountain 1st of January 2000. Met only one man over there who was the mountain guard. He was the gatekeeper of that place. He received me in. But it was now, there was no house, there was no tent, there was nothing. I just went to be under trees, just in the bushes for 40 days. And I made up my mind and I told God that I'm going to be in prayer and fasting. So I only told God that I'm going to be drinking, but I'm not going to eat, because I really needed to hear from the Lord. By that time, I had burnout. And people that I lived with never knew that I had burnout. When my burnout hit, I ignored it. I kept pushing, kept going, kept pretending everything was okay, until my body physically couldn't continue any longer. And I said, I needed to have myself by myself. So by that time, I was physically and emotionally exhausted. I'd experienced a loss of joy and fulfillment. I started experiencing constant feeling of stress. I often felt irritable, angry, and depressed. I started having trouble sleeping. It was hard to focus or to concentrate in ministry and family. I consistently started dreaming about quitting ministry. I needed to know the purpose behind my creation. I read a verse in Psalm 57, verse number 2. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. So this is key in understanding God's purpose for your life, that God has numbered your days and he will fulfill every purpose he has for you. However, choices and actions also matter a lot. So, I knew that my days are numbered by the Lord, and I surely needed to fulfill the purpose behind my creation. That's why I decided to go and pray and seek the face of the Lord. There's a scripture that I also love so much in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 21, that many plans are in the man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord will always prevail. So I asked the Lord about my purpose in life. 40 days of drinking, not eating, wasn't so easy. I read the Bible as never before. I prayed as never before. It rained too much on me during that time, where I had no tent, I had no room, I had no house, but under trees and in the bushes. Mosquitoes, flies, and all around, I could only hear dogs and only hear animals in the jungles moving and birds in the morning. I lost all my weight in those 40 days of praying and fasting. I had abandoned my home because I wanted to know my purpose in life. I love another scripture where Job said, "A person's days are determined, but you have decreed the number of his mouth and have set limits he cannot exceed." So, but I like Job 14, verse number 7, that at least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. So that is what happened to my life. I prayed, I sought the face of the Lord for 40 days. The first 10 days, I did not hear the voice of God. 20 days and 30 days, I never heard any voice from the Lord. I could pray, I could do each and everything, but the Lord had not communicated exactly what I had to do in life as my purpose. I know that maybe we may even be able to have some people over here who can be able to live in this world and make all money that you could ever dream of, and be maybe as beautiful as you want to be, or as educated as you please and accomplish. You may be able to be in this place when you are desiring, or you really feel like you really want to be doing something so great in life. But if you die without accomplishing your purpose, you are a failure. God is calling us to be able to accomplish the purpose behind our creation. So sometimes you have these kind of moments where you come and ask God, "What is my purpose? Why am I here? And why am I here for?" Because finding your purpose means finding what motivates you, what makes you excited to wake up each day. And I always tell people that your purpose goes beyond your job. Your role as a man or as a woman, as a leader, as a mother, you may find meaningful fulfillment in all these things. But what is your true purpose according to the Bible? That is why I had to go and pray. But I just want to thank God that on the 40th day of my prayer and fasting, I heard the voice of the Lord. Because by that time, I had a great battle within my mind. And I was asking myself, "Lord, may I continue with business, or I may be able to continue with ministry?" And I had gone to the mountain to ask the Lord, because by that time, I had not yet known what the Lord had actually called me to do. Then the voice of the Lord within me spoke, and the Lord gave me a scripture. And the scripture was in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 24 to verse number 33. "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Therefore, he spoke again through the scripture and told me, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Because by that time, as I was worried about clothes, I was worried about food. I was worried about accommodation. I was worried about each and everything in life. And the Lord told me, see how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of them. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? For what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But the verse that really touched my spirit, to be able to be in ministry until today, to do whatever we do until now, is verse number 33, where the scripture tells me that, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. After I read that scripture, the whole burden, almost the whole continent that I felt like that I had carried on me, I felt like everything was lifted. Then I made up my mind to be able to serve the Lord. That is where the ministry started from. So, after the Lord spoke this word, that was the 40th day, after 40 days of praying and fasting, I came out of the mountain to come back home, because I had spent 40 days without coming back home. So, I came back home afterwards. And then I started our normal life. I started praying and fasting for 40 days from January 1st, 2000 until today. It has taken me over 24 years now, taking time to pray for 40 days of prayer and fasting every year, every beginning of the year, from 1st to the 9th of February. I always pray for the last 24 years. I love it, because that is the scripture that God gave unto me to be able to stand in ministry. And being in ministry, and I came back home, I told my wife everything that the Lord had spoken to me, and I thought that it was going to be so easy right away to be able to go into ministry. But I just want to tell you that it took more 5 years for the Lord to be able to fulfill his word. I had the word. He had spoken to me, but putting it into implementation took other 5 years. But in these other 5 years, I don't even want to share that story. They were so hard for me to be able to go through the 5 years. Oh my goodness, I cannot even explain how hard it was. I heard the voice. I knew my purpose. I knew that God had called me in ministry, but the life became so hard from 2000 to 2005. We were just after the house. Children never went to school. As you know, we were taking so many care of so many children. They did not have anything. We were living in only one bedroom the house. Those days were so tough days. But I just want to thank God that after 5 years of perseverance, after 5 years of seeking and praying and waiting patiently upon the Lord, then the Lord was able to be able to give us the ministry that we are leading right now. So, God's will for your life is for you to die empty. I told God that, Lord, as you have called me into this ministry, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, 24/7. And I committed myself to serve the Lord. And I told God that I would never quit ministry. I would never run out of ministry, because this is life to me. And I told God that because ministry is life to me, I just want to impact the nations. I want to impact communities. I want to impact children and leaders, so that I don't want to go to heaven full loaded with all the materials God gave unto me. I want to meet him when I'm completely empty. That's why I'm serving the Lord. I serve him as if I'm dying the next morning. I serve him as if I don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow. Every time I have an opportunity to use for ministry, I use it for ministry. So, I love what I'm doing, and I love what the Lord has called us to do in ministry. So after that, 5 years after that, God called us, and we were able to start the church. When we went to start the church, life wasn't so easy, because our church is located in the midst of 7 mosques. 90% of our community are Muslims. Churches had already been started into this community, but all the churches failed within this community. And when I went in there, they told me that the church will never stand here, because all leaders are Muslims. So I went to ask for permission to be able to start a church. So the chairperson of the community told me, there's nothing new that you're going to be able to do in this community, because we have the mosques here, 7 mosques all around us. 90% of the community are Muslims. So he discouraged me. I went back home being discouraged by him, and I kept on praying and praying. And by the time, then I came back to him and I told him that I really want to start a ministry. And all other people discouraged me that there's no church that has ever been established within this community. But after like a month or more, the chairperson, who is a Muslim, I went back to his office and I told him that I needed to start a church within that community. And he asked me, what new thing are you going to bring within this community? I told him that I'm bringing in Jesus. He laughed, he smiled, he mocked me. And eventually, the Lord spoke to him to allow me to be able to start the church. I started the church. It was a bush place. We had to level each and everything. And then afterwards, we needed to put up a shelter under that within that area. We did not have any money to be able to do that. But thanks be to God for my wife. I went to her and I told her that this is what the Lord has told me to do. What are we going to do? I told her that the chairperson has allowed me to be able to start the church, but we don't even have any money. Then she told me that, what do you feel the Lord is telling you? I told her that I just feel like the Lord is telling me to sell each and everything we have in the house to be able to start the ministry. She said, do whatever the Spirit of the Lord is leading you to do. We sold each and everything out of the house, from the bed to the mattress, plates, cups, and each and everything, and we'd not even have any other place to go to, because we are renting a small house by that time. So, after selling everything, we were able to get some little money to be able to start. We are looking for $90 to be able to start the church. So, $90, we had to sell everything out of the house. I think the house was worth the $90 by that time. Wasn't so easy. But thanks be to God for her, that she allowed me and permitted me to be able to do that. I did it, and I was able to go, and we graded the land. I did it myself, and then we started the church under the tree. The church was able to be started, and people started coming to church. It was a blessing that I was doing the purpose that God had called me to do. And by that time, from that time until on, the Lord has been blessing us by not only being in that community, but we have also been able to expand the ministry from one area to another. Because when God called us to be able to start the church, God did not tell us to start a mega church, but he told us to start a missional church. So we really wanted to do a missional church. So we wanted to plant at least one branch church per year. But I just want to say that by God's grace, we've been able to plant over 267 churches from that time until today. And I just want to tell you that we wanted to send missionaries all across Uganda. And today, we have been able to achieve it by the grace of God. We wanted to be able to, you know, to do crusades and conferences and raising leaders within our community and within our country. And I'm here to let you know that God has been faithful. And this is the reason why we even had to go to Mukono to be able to start a ministry over there. I went there in the year 2000 after I had come from the mountain. And when I went there, I had to walk some miles and miles until 11 p.m. When I went to the place, it wasn't so easy for me because I always want to start churches in a place that are more Islamic. Where people don't want to go is where I always want to go. So, went to that place full of witchcraft, a lot of witchcraft in that place. I went there in the year 2000, and when I was in that place, I had like the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in a voice and told me that this community would be transformed through education. And it took 17 years for what the Lord spoke to me to come to pass. So from 2000 to 2017, I used to go to that place, but nothing happened, not until 2017. So by the grace of God, after all that, the Lord was so merciful and so gracious that after 17 years of hearing his voice, we were able to go and purchase a very small piece of land for the church, which was 50 feet by 50 feet. And then after that, we were able to start up a church within that community. And then after we started a church, then we are able to open up a school. The school is a school for the orphans and the vulnerable. And we believed God out of nothing. And we said, Lord, we are here to be able to serve you. But we are fulfilling the God-given purpose. And we stood behind that purpose until today. I just want to say that the Lord has been so faithful. He has been so merciful that he spoke to me about this vision. And I stood behind the purpose, and the Lord has been able to fulfill the purpose that he called me to do. That is where the team came. When the team came in March, that is where they came. And I thank God that the Lord has been so merciful that if you have the purpose, the Lord will always connect you with the people who have the same vision and purpose like you. So I'm here to say thank you so much, church, for being part of what the Lord has called us to do in the country. And I'm here to say that if God speaks to you, he already knows. And he is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I just want to pray with you if it's okay. And then I welcome our pastor to be able to take over. Let's pray together. Maybe there is something that the Lord has been talking to you about this message. Maybe about your purpose in life. What has God called you to do? Father, I pray for your people. I bring them before you, Father. We have shared about the vision and the purpose. And I know that you have spoken at least to one person. I pray that your word and your purpose may be fulfilled through your people. I know and I believe that at least one person in this place will be able to be transformed through this message. I pray for each and everyone that the purpose may be vivid, that the purpose may be done through the precious mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.